Stand back, you useless wizard. Well, Lewis, do you want to start this then?
Yeah, all right. It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday. That means it's time for Midweek Mage Mania. Get ready to give it up for the cast of Disaster, the Arcane Migraine, the Sorcerer and Wizard class.
Oh, let's go on record and say that we have fun here. Welcome back, everybody, to Deck of Crotchety Things. You just heard Lunatic Lewis deliver the opening statement, and we're definitely going to wing it again this week because I am ill-prepared. I blame the kids. I mean, the familiars, whatever. If you haven't figured out that my familiars are my children by now, I don't know what you're doing. So I think we touched on last week how thick the druid was and how thin the sorcerer was comparatively. Do we want to start with the sorcerer or do we want to go with the wizard first?
Let's go with the sorcerer. I think they are the easier to discuss. So the sorcerer class is pretty thin, but it's not thin like it's absent of anything. It's thin like how the fighter is. You build around a very narrow structure, whereas everything else is, especially like the druid, is very broad and stacks quite competently. The sorcerer is very narrow. He gets lots of spells, and that's it. Literally it. But what you do get is some amazing versatility with the fact that they are a spontaneous caster, and that's not how I've been saying it for the cleric and druid, but this might actually have to be the first time we actually go into a bit of a mechanical discussion here. Every in-game morning, you are to look at the list of spells available to you. Say, for example, you're allowed 2 level 1 spells and a level 2 spell. And you are to pick what spells are going into those spell slots. So, for example, I have a two level 1s and a level 2. I'm going to learn Summon Monster 1, Obscuring Mist as my 2 level 1s, and Web for my 2nd level spell. All right? Once I've cast my Obscuring Mist spell, I only have Summon Monster and Web left for the rest of the day. That's it. I can't cast 2 Obscuring Mists because I've only memorized 1. The way magic works for a prepared caster is that every morning they get a specific grenade. This is the way that I've sort of thought it through. You get a specific grenade in the morning and it will be your Obscuring Mist grenade. And you pull the pin and that's how you memorize the spell. And when you cast that spell, you throw it. It's gone. It's done. That's fancy and magic. The sorcerer, however, doesn't do it the same way. They don't have to prepare their spells in the morning the same way that everyone else does. They have a much smaller list of spells that they can cast, and they can cast them spontaneously with any spell slot available to that spell. So if I know the Obscuring Mist and some monster spells, and I have 2 first level slots, I can cast Obscuring Mist twice, Summon Monster twice, 1 of each, whatever. This gives you an amazing versatility over pretty much everyone else. Like, it's genuinely pretty scary how much you can get away with. The sorcerer, the Fireball Sorcerer, is a meme that is a meme for a reason.
It's been a while since I have really looked into the sorcerer. Like, is there a lore explanation as to why they can just know spells first thing in the morning?
Traditionally, it is just that they have a bloodline to a dragon, which are innate sorcerer casts themselves. And if we ever do a monster video, dragons will be 8, because Jesus Christ. But as dragons get older, they can just inherently cast sorcerer spells of varying levels. And whilst that is the default, why you have the sorcerer spell access and whatnot, it's not the only one. I quite like the idea of devil pacts, where you sell your soul to a powerful being on another plane so that you are able to cast some fire spell to kill the baker down the road that's doing you over. And that's generally where a villain will come from. 5e has the actual warlock, which is also in 3e, but the 3e warlock is vastly different to the 5e warlock. and has a similar bloodline trait to the sorcerer, and it gets a bit weird.
Is Warlock a prestige class?
No, it's a base class, but it's not in the core book.
Oh, okay. So that's third party then, or supplementary?
Supplementary, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So the draw of the sorcerer then would be its versatility, in that you can just do basically anything depending on the day.
No.
What could possibly be a bigger draw than versatility?
I kind of want to look up the word that rhymes with versatility that means sheer violent output.
Hostility?
Hostility? Know. Yeah, maybe. So yeah, you'd say the versatility, and I'd say more for the facility of extreme hostility.
That all rhymes.
So yeah, it's more the ability for the facility for extreme hostility, in that you get a very small selection of spells for life. So the cleric, the druid, and the wizard can all choose spells from a long list every day. As the sorcerer, when you level up, you lock in a very small number of spells, and that's your spell pool forever. You can change them every now and then and whatnot, but you'll be casting the same so many spells forever. But you will be casting more spells than anyone else.
So you just have like a bag of holding of said magic grenades, right? Except the bag of holding is your brain.
Yeah, basically. Yes. Yes. So, yeah, you get a bonus spell slot per day if you have a high charisma. And you will have a high charisma. And this brings your spells up to 4 per day for your first level spells, which is a lot of spells a day. If you specifically go out of your way to make a wizard have as many spells as you can, at the same level, he's only going to have 3. And you have 3 before any modifiers.
That's pretty sweet.
So at first level, you will know 2 spells at first level. Okay, so this is actually going to be a little confusing because there is spell level and character level.
Right.
So at character level 1, you will know 2 first level spells. And you can cast 4 spells in a day, which can be, we'll stick with Summon Monster and Obscuring Mist. Any combination of those 2. 4 of one, 4 of the other, 2 of each, 1 and 3, 3 and 1. Whatever you want. But you only know those 2 spells as your level 1 spells. And by the time you get to level 20, you still know so few spells. It's like 20 to 30, I think.
But you can cast them. You can cast them a number of times.
43. You know 43 spells.
Holy moly.
That's it. Whereas the cleric and druid, they know every single spell on their spell list. And every single morning they can change that. So if you're in the frozen north, they'll remember endure elements. They'll have fire spells to deal with the frost giants. Something about weather. Maybe overland flight so that you don't have to worry about moving at half your speed in the thick snow. And then when you come down to more tropical climates, they don't need those spells. They just don't memorize those spells anymore. Whereas your sorcerer from the frozen wastes knows spells that are useful in the frozen wastes. And many spells are useful in both places, but you don't have the versatility of everyone else. You are a focused laser. You are genuine artillery.
So like the way you can specialize a fighter, you can specialize a sorcerer, whereas a wizard is more of a jack of all trades. And they can switch it up as needed.
Yes, on a day-to-day basis, yes.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. Because I was like, well, wait, what really is the difference here?
It's the fact you have a very thin class and you have to make some very strong choices as to what your strengths and weaknesses are going to be.
Okay.
So, for example, at 6th level, a sorcerer knows 1/3 level spell.
But they can cast it 3 times.
Well, they can cast it 3 times. And then if they've got a charisma of 16? Yes, 16. It's actually 4 times. So at level 6, you have 4 fireballs. Boom, 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 boom. Every time you blow something up, boom. Just a molten pile of ash that used to be a problem. Whereas the wizard at level 6, he has 2 slots basic. He then has an extra 1 if he's specialized, and we'll get to that in a moment, and an extra 1 if he's got the same 16 in intelligence, which does bring him to 4.
Okay.
But that's him specializing in evocation spells, because you can only use the bonus specialist slot for spells of that school. And then he's memorized 4 fireballs, which comes away from the wizard's strength of knowing other solutions. The other strength of the sorcerer is, yes, you only know 1/3 level spell at this level, so this is the example still. You don't have to cast 4 fireballs. What you can do is you can absolutely abuse the metamagic system, which other classes can do, but you do it better. So there's a short list of metamagic feats that let you change how spells work in certain ways, such as the spell is cast without moving your hands, the spell is cast without moving your lips, the spell is cast in 1/2 a second, the spell has a plus 50% damage output, the spell has a maximum damage roll output, the spell goes longer, lasts longer, or longer distance, those are both options, and the last one is that you just make the spell harder to resist. So the wizard wants to cast extend spell, an extend spell, obscuring mist. What this does is doubles the duration the spell lasts for over what it should do. It's a first level spell. The extend spell makes it take up 1 spell slot higher. So it counts as a level 2 spell for the spell slot cost, which means that the wizard has to take out his book in the morning and he has to sit there with his feet that he's taken so he can have the extended spell's feet. And he has to specifically memorize into one of his second level slots extended obscuring mist. And if he does cast that in the day, he's only got the 1. If he doesn't cast it, then it's just wasted space. Whereas the sorcerer has the extended spell feat, and he knows the obscuring mist feat. At the start of his turn, he goes, right, boom, I'm going to do both. And that's it. It takes a full round action as opposed to a standard action to cast a spontaneously metamagic feat. But you can decide this on the fly. This is your versatility.
So sorcerers are just more instinctual casters than wizards.
That's exactly it.
So it's instinct versus training.
It absolutely is, yes.
Okay. I can get behind that.
So yeah, you know this one spell and you know this feat, and this feat can be used in other spells as well, such as mage armor, which starts getting kind of silly when you start using extend spell on it. Let's see. So mage armor lasts for 1 hour per level. At level 6, that's 6 hours. For a level 1 spell, you get 6 hours of magic armor floating around you, which is pretty badass. Or you can use a second level slot and have it for 12 hours using the extend spell feat, which is pretty badass.
Yeah.
Now, the wizard memorizes this spell, casts it first thing in the morning before they head out. Then he walks around expecting to have this armor for 12 hours, and then he trips on a dispel magic trap.
Oh no.
And now he has no armor. But he's only memorized it once. That's it.
Oh, that sucks.
The sorcerer, however, goes, oh no, it turned off. Casts it a second time. It costs him a second slot, but he can do it. Another one is the old fireball joke. The wizard sits there and he's got his notebook. He's like, right, we're going to go to hell. Let's memorize, 10 fireballs today. Yeah, that'll be enough. And then you do get to hell. It's 1 narrated encounter before you're sent off to the plane of fire, where everything's immune to fire. And it's like,
oh no.
Well,
oh no.
Well, shit, says the wizard, who's now spent all his spell slots for the day, specifically thinking that, yes, demons have, a fire resistance, but, enough firepower can do it. Hell was a bad example, actually. But you know what you mean. Like, you go to, you go hunting a white dragon, right? You're in the frozen north, and there's a dragon that's been pestering people, and you go and find it, thinking, oh, we're in the north, it's like 4 feet of snow everywhere, it'll be a white dragon. So you memorize all 10 of these fireball spells, you get there, and it's like, oh, it's a red dragon. Because red dragons do fire damage, so they have an advantage over the ecology of a snowy area. Well, fuck. And you're sitting there, and you've got 10 useless fireballs.
Why didn't we think of this?
Maybe you can do something clever with melting ice or something, interacting with the environment or whatnot.
Which we wholeheartedly endorse, by the way. Think outside the box, everybody.
Always. Yeah, you've got these 10 fireballs which are at best within the scope of GM fiat, and at worst are just dead picks. Whereas with the sorcerer goes, oh, okay, I'll just cast lightning bolt instead.
Stand back, you useless wizard.
So your versatility is that you're able to do these changes on the fly. You have a very small, very, very small pool of spells to choose from, but you're able to use them in interesting and clever ways.
So he may not have many toys, but the toys he has are excellent for what he needs them to do.
Yes.
Whereas the wizard has all of the toys and spends more time sorting through his toy box and hoping that the toy he picks is the correct one.
If anyone's familiar with Top Gear, the TV show...
I'm vaguely familiar with it.
The sorcerer is a Jeremy Clarkson and the wizard is a James May. I've never really thought about that before. And I'm just thinking about it now, and because of what Faith was saying about the toy box, because I remember there was one episode where all three of the presenters were split up into... Well, they were working together to build a race car of some kind. And, you know, it's all played up for the camera. Well, it's fairly played up for the camera.
Oh, yeah.
But Clarkson is, in one scene, like, he's cut the bolts securing an engine block into the car. And he's, like, holding onto the crane himself whilst he's just donkey-kicking this thing to kick it out of his fucking housing. and then the camera cuts James May, and he's just like, oh yes, this is the 10mm spanner. That one goes there. And this is a hex scrap spanner. Why is this in this drawer? This needs to be in this drawer over here. And he's just faffing about. He's got all the tools, but he's faffing about making sure that he has the right tool for the job while the sorcerer is blowing shit up.
Yes.
That was a surprisingly on-track tangent.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. It's especially on track because it's Top Gear.
Yay.
So does that make you the Stig?
I believe the listeners will tell us that I am not quiet enough to be the Stig.
If the Stig could talk, he would talk about D&D or cars.
Maybe that's what's going on with the visor. He just believes he's like riding a dragon around the track. He has the original pyro hat.
Yes. So let's see. What else is there about sorcerers? I saw that they could have familiars.
Yes. Familiar is a thing that both sorcerer and wizard can have, and they function identically and at the same rate. So neither one class gets an advantage on familiar over the other. And a familiar is not like an animal companion. An animal companion is literally just an animal that likes you and doesn't bite you often. Whereas a familiar is a magical thing. It counts as an animal, but it's not really. You'll have noticed it in popular culture, I'm sure. You look at a TV show and you've got a witch's cat. And the witch's cat is pretty smart. It'll move around and it'll come up with a solution of its own. And then you look at your cat and your cat is just sitting there with its face pushed up against the glass because it doesn't understand what glass is. And then it'll just slowly slide a cup off the table.
Well, you know the cat meant to do that.
More like, why did you allow this to happen? So, much like the animal companions, as you gain levels as a sorcerer or wizard, your familiar gets more bonuses. For example, at first level, your familiar will... You choose the form of the familiar, and at first level, that familiar will get an extra armor point, and its intelligence starts off at 6. It's a very long-running joke that parties will have the familiar more intelligent than the barbarian or the paladin.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me, but I've never encountered, like, it's funny because one of my first characters that I remember was a sorceress. I don't even remember if I even had a familiar, if I even bothered with one.
You definitely don't need one. They do have some pretty neat little uses, but again, a big difference between animal companions and familiars is the time to replace one. When you lose an animal companion, you spend, as we discussed in Druid, you spend 24 hours out in nature, communing with nature, until another animal approaches you and you have a new pet. Whereas for a familiar, it's a year, and you get really, really messed up because of it.
Like, what's the reasoning for that?
Because it's a fraction of your own...
It's a piece of your soul made manifest or something?
Pretty much.
Okay.
So have you ever read the Philip Pullman books?
No, I haven't.
Golden Compass.
I have not. I really wanted to, though. I haven't gotten around to it. I've got a very long reading list.
It made a terrible movie, but the Golden Compass, the Amber Spyglass, and the Subtle Knife made the Philip Pullman trilogy. And in the Golden Compass, they lived in a alternate world where your soul existed as a second creature. To yourself. And and it would always take the form of an animal. It was a huge thing in the books when they died. But yeah, so the first time you get a familiar in this, because you don't have to have one, you just have the ability to have one. When you decide, yes, I'm going to have one, you need to spend a whole 24 hours and 100 gold just to get it.
What?
So that's already worse than the animal companion because it costs
but
money.
Why? What?
Because you need to do magic. It's not really explained in the core rule book, which leaves it very up to personal interpretation. I quite like the notion of you have to Kalima yourself a little bit, and then you give this tangible essence form.
Okay.
I quite like that, but it's not explicit.
Well, that makes sense. I guess one could make the argument that you have to give up something valuable.
Yeah, so you get to choose what kind of familiar you get, and familiar does get some bonuses. Again, like the intelligence, the extra armor. More importantly, as you gain levels, it gets more abilities, such as being able to deliver touch spells for you, being able to communicate with you, being able to communicate with animals of its kind. So if I have a raven familiar, it can go and speak with any other ravens in the area, which becomes really cool because you can start doing weird stuff with animal hordes.
It almost sounds like you could set up a spy network with your familiar.
Yeah, and 13th level sees your last special bonus for a familiar. And this is Scryon familiar, which means that you can send your familiar off to the other side of the planet. And then you just peer into a large bowl of water and you can see what's going on around your familiar.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, that lich absolutely can see inside the church because up on the ceiling there's a bat or there's a mouse. It's kind of rad. One caveat for being able to speak with animals of its kind, they're still animals. So they can communicate. It's if you talk to a bunch of rabbits, the fact that they can say that they're hungry and scared of everything isn't going to change the fact that they are hungry and scared of everything and they're not exactly in the loop as to what's going on around.
Yeah, because they have their own stuff that they need to worry about. They don't really care what the king of the area is doing. They are busy trying to scrounge for winter. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, they might be able to tell you the location of nearby places of interest if you explain them really simply, but they definitely won't understand much. And yeah, their mindset is just a completely different focus.
They're like kids. They have their own priorities.
Yeah. So that's the sorcerer. Oh no, we didn't actually finish the familiar. So costs a day and 100 gold. It resembles an animal and it's pretty smart. They start off at intelligence 6, which isn't bad. If the familiar dies or is dismissed, you have to make a fortitude save, which is generally one of the bad ones for you. If you fail this, you lose 200 experience per level because this tangible part of you has gone and been broken. It's literally crushing your hopes and dreams. If you pass that save, then you only lose 100 experience per level.
Still, though.
Yeah, these numbers aren't actually as big and scary as they sound, because the difference between first and second level is 1,000 experience, so you'll lose not huge amounts of it. It's fine. Then you have to get a new one.
Now, can you choose a new familiar's... Like, can you change the familiar's form, or does it have to be the one that you started with? Or is that, like...
Yes, you can choose any kind of familiar each time you do it, which... probably the only reason why you would dismiss it to get a better one. And I have just had a quick look. It doesn't look like that year thing I said was correct. Oh no, yeah, no. A slain or dismissed familiar cannot be replaced for a year and a day.
Oh jeez.
So you are actually kind of buggered for 366 days.
Yeah, and the druids over here just like, I'm just going to go say ohm in the woods for the next day or so. I'll be back. It's my fifth bear. Oh, well, wait. You can't use bears, but this...
You can use bears eventually.
Eventually, yes.
But yeah, wizards also get familiars, and familiars work for wizards and sorcerers equally well. So I suppose we should probably move on to the wizard now, having spent an hour on the thin class.
Actually, when you put it that way, we should probably just call it here with the sorcerer and just move on to the wizard next week. So until then, everybody, have a great week, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Ciao.
special thanks, as always, to Tim from Tabletop Audio for providing us with our intro and outro music. And if you have any questions or comments for us, you can just hit us up on Twitter. Our handle is @GrumpyDeck, or you can email us. Our email address is grumpydeck@protonmail.com. Once again, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.